Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
I will turn this car around, Ray.
Listen to my chapter of As My Story Grows.
As the story grows.
As
you want to write it out?
Yes, we're going to write it out because I don't want to mess it up. This is Ray Gers from Tile and Bad American, and you're listening to my chapter As the Story Grows.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man being realistic.
As the story grows.
Welcome back to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name is Trav. Let me teach anybody who wants to do podcasting a lesson. If you're using an interface with a firewire, you should make sure that that thing is turned off before you stick the firewire into your laptop. Or else you'll lose your entire episode worth of editing and have to start all over again. Whoops. Lesson learned. So here we are. This is actually Sunday morning, and I'm recording this intro the day. I'm basically going to record this intro, attach it, bounce it, and throw it out there for you. Whoops. What can I say? Yesterday I had a little bit of a malfunction and lost the whole thing, and I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go eat dinner at my in-laws, and then Seth and I and the family are going to watch Star Wars. And I watched Star Wars last night for the first time. I finally got around to seeing Force Awakens. Yeah, since I'm the last person on the planet to see it, I dozed off and woke up just in time to see Han Solo get stabbed to death and thrown off a bridge. I went to bed in a bad mood, man. I didn't know that was going to happen, but whatever. So Seth is here for the weekend. We've been hanging out, working on some things, we have a production thing that we're working on, updating the website. It's trotting along. We're getting up to speed now. That'll be coming out soon. Give you some details on that. So I got a couple things to talk about here. My guest this week for the next chapter is Ray Gers, lead singer of Bad American, lead singer of Tile, lead singer of the band Carpenter Ant, CEO, if you will, CEO of Lost Soul Skateboard Company. This cat does it all. Works at my local record shop. I've bought albums from this dude. Great guy. If you go back and listen to the Double Decker episode where I actually went to the record store and talked to the owner, Jamie, Ray is actually on that one for a little bit. This is my fourth time recording someone locally. I don't mean locally just in my room. I mean, like, I actually speaking to someone from my area. Talked to Taylor and Sarah of This Way to the Egress. Talked to Secret Cutter. Spoke to my local record shop. And now I'm speaking to Ray Gers. Stoked to talk to this guy. He's a good dude. So let's talk a little bit about Patreon. I have a new patron named Chris Mitchell. Chris, thanks, man. Appreciate it. You pushed us over the edge. We now hit our next goal. The next goal is that I am now obligated to put at least make sure that I'm putting up at least one video every single month. So here's how I do it. If the person has a decent signal and I can get a nice shot of them, then I actually throw the thing up on the YouTube page. I've been putting those up there anyway, just to try to get people interested in it a little bit. But now that we hit the next Patreon goal, that's going to happen now. That's a thing. And my patrons get extra stuff. So if you want to get everything that this podcast has to offer, contribute. What can I say? There's going to be extra stuff. Seth and I are constantly putting stuff up on the Patreon page. And there's links in the notes. You can go check it out. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it very much. You got us to the next tier. The next one that we're going to work on is cover songs. Now, some time ago, back in September, did a cover song with Bruce from Living Sacrifice. And Alex of Soul Amore is becoming the archetype. And we put that out there just to wet everybody's whistle. Got thousands of listens. Super stoked that everybody was into that. I want to do that more often with my guests. I have a recording studio where I can kind of make things happen. So as the right guest comes along and the right cover song comes along and the right opportunity comes along, I would like to keep doing stuff like that and have that little side project for me to work on all the time. But that stuff costs money. I got to have somebody mix and master it and all that kind of stuff. So the next Patreon tier is going to be cover songs. This podcast is going to be doing all kinds of crazy stuff like this. So with a little bit more support, we can get this thing off the ground and I can get my patrons exclusive extras for each of the cover songs. You know, a little behind the scenes footage, pictures, maybe some audio, that kind of thing. Yeah, go listen to the Bruce Fitzhugh Living Sacrifice Megadeth cover podcast and get wet your whistle is the kind of stuff that I want to work on. Speaking of Alex, he was on the Shoot the Shred podcast with our buddy Eric. You should go listen to that. I put that link in show notes. If you're a guitar guy, super techie, get under the hood. This guy knows what he's talking about. Builds his own equipment. It's a good episode. You should go listen to that too. So coming into this, we were listening to a little bit of Nails. Ray and I were talking before we started to record the podcast how awesome this new Nails song is. You Will Never Be One of Us. I'm stoked to hear the new Nails. And Scott Mellinger from Zayo just played with Nails up in New England, and he said they leveled the place. They were so good. I was stoked to hear Nails' new stuff. Go check that out. You can find that on YouTube. And coming out of this, we're going to play a couple exclusive Bad American songs on their new album called Scuzz. Ray was nice enough to bring over the vinyl for me. I'm holding it right here. Coming out of this, we're going to be listening to a little bit of Scab Eater. And then hang in for the end of the episode. I'm going to have the song Leech in its entirety. Thanks for listening. Let's flip it over to Ray. Complimentary issue of Rolling Stone.
Wow, sweet.
Because I ordered Sting and Peter Gabriel tickets.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm getting those forever now. They just keep coming to my house and I don't know how to make them stop. So you get the Merle Haggard issue.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll give you a sticker. There. You can have another one if you do a good job.
Oh, wow. Thanks, buddy.
If you're a bore, I'll be butthurt and you get no sticker.
No way, man. I think you didn't know what you were getting into. Because I have so much shit.
And I, that's hope, what, I hope
my,
so.
My wife was like, so he wants to do a podcast. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, you know, I'm like, it's probably going to be a while because I have a lot to talk about. And she's like, well, I'm like, it's not because I'm trying to be cool. It's just because I just do a lot of things. She goes, I know. Just imagine if you like an art show that you had planned too. Because I was actually trying to do one and do all this all in a row.
Yeah.
But I would have went nuts. No time to do anything.
Probably. Hi, Riggers.
Hi, Travis.
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
We have to do that awkward thing now. We stare at each other and pretend haven't been talking for an hour.
Yeah. In your kitchen while you're making some really good coffee.
It's not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to see how seriously I take French press?
Yeah.
I worked it into my steampunk gears.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's a henna tattoo. That's awesome.
This one? A henna tattoo? It's not a henna tattoo.
No, it's not.
Starting to wipe off.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, shut up. So, thanks for coming, and I don't know you that well, and I'm super stoked to talk to you.
It'd be fun.
I hope you're not a complete crazy madman because you're in my house and I'm locked in this room with you now. But
no, I'll try to keep my hands where you can see them.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. I first heard of you because I've been coming in Double Decker since probably about a year or two after Jamie opened it. You've worked there a long time.
Yeah.
So I think just over the course of a few years here and there, I just recognize this dude with glasses. I buy a record from you on occasion.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Just once in a while, hey, how's it going? And then when I came in to do the podcast, you actually were on the Double Decker podcast a little.
Just a little, yeah.
And you're doing so many cool things, and I wanted to do more local bands and mostly revolving around music, but you're involved in so many things. I just thought, you know what? You'd be a good guy to talk to.
Yeah,
so,
man. No, totally. I'm excited someone cares to ask to do it.
I do. I don't care. I just need an episode this Sunday.
Okay, cool.
So I knew you had off tonight. So.
Yeah, I have off tonight. I mean, I usually crochet my favorite.
You can crochet. I didn't say you couldn't crochet.
No. Well, I mean, I was going to bring my crochet stuff here, but right. I didn't know what was going to go on in the house. So I
could hear that in the background, that clinking of the needles together.
Yes.
Is that crocheting?
Yeah.
Or is that knitting? What's the difference?
I don't know.
See, you're full of shit. You don't crochet.
I never have in my entire life. But yeah, no, I've worked at Double Decker for like, man, I think I've been filling in for over 10 years there.
Wow.
And then, but it wasn't until like the last 5 years that he was just like, yo, I'm dying here by myself. I need you to help me. So I was like, well, I don't know if I can leave my other job. He's like, I'll give you 40 plus hours. Like, I need someone. I'm dying. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. Like,
okay.
Yeah. So I worked at Homebase Skate Shop in Bethlehem for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
As a manager, and I helped Andy get the 4th Street location in Bethlehem good from the beginning, from ground up, like literally building and then working UPS in the mornings. And then, yeah, after 3 years, Jamie's like, I'm dying. I really need help. So I was like, meh, okay. Well, I mean, I've been friends with Jamie. He's put out my band's records. So it's like, yeah.
Hard decision. Practice in the basement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. I can't complain. He gives us a free practice space.
Yeah.
I mean, at all hours. I mean, I've recorded so many records. Jared from Capture Studios, Secret Cutter, has recorded multiple albums down that basement that no one knows of because they're always like small pressings, you know? So,
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's cool.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And you mentioned, just when you got here to the house, you mentioned that you actually started a skateboard company also.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, it's like over 10 years old from the original owner who started the name. It's called Lost Soul, and I was a pro rider for him then. And then I was just like, well, you want to sell the company, so... Well, I picked most of the people to ride for the company, so I was like, yo, man, I can't have this go down the drain. I like it. It was underground. It's like not your pretty looking. It's more like we go to abandoned buildings, we skate ditches, we skate junky cars, we smash stuff, you know, like we totally like just wreak havoc on anything. And it's like that's what kind of company it is. And then when I bought from them, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to make it work. And then I literally just looked the other day. I think we did the Facebook page. We started in like 2005 or something. So yeah, now it's over 10 years.
Wow.
But yeah. But it's like really low under the radar with the way I want it. Like a DIY band that's like really good that you're like, yes, they never sold out. So
okay. So there's no storefront or anything?
No, I mean, okay. I run it out of my basement, and like boards are sold at certain shops, but I won't like, I don't sell to like mall chains, and
right.
everything is like really low numbers because I don't have a financial backer. It's all right. me. It's mm-hmm. literally like whatever extra money I have that you should be put away for a rainy day or like when you get older mm-hmm. for like, oh, if my house falls apart or I need money for that stuff. Yeah, I don't care about that. I usually put everything into Lost Soul. So
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like fun. It's like a hobby that's kind of grown to like, I think this year is the year it like puts it over the top because I added like a Japanese writer that was a friend of mine from years ago, from wow. 20 years ago. Yeah. I was stationed in the service 20 years ago in Japan.
You
so,
were?
Yes. So I'm a veteran, but like everyone's like, how does a punk survive? Blah, blah. And I'm like, well, if you stay true to what you believe in, it kind of sucks that you have to like, go to your job and deal with these fools, but when the job's over, it doesn't mean I have to hang out with them. So I would just take my board and go skate in Japan through all over the city. And I got to know these dudes, these Japanese friends that were like super tight. And they were like, you know, it was really awkward. And then you become friends. And then next thing you know, 3 years later, it's like I'm going home, but I met like probably the best friends of my life.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I've only been back a few times after that. But last year I went back for like a week and I stayed with one that I used to hang out with all the time. So just imagine 20 years and you've never seen that, you haven't seen this guy. And then next thing you know, it's like the best week of your life because yeah. it's literally like reliving. You're like, you're just hanging out.
That's
just
pretty
skateboarding,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. Talking music. And I know Japanese, so I can like still speak it because of the record store and all the dealers that come in.
Okay.
It makes me use it a lot. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I can carry on a normal conversation with someone and look at some other guy and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, if you need to, like, go down this way and then Migi, and then you to use the restroom, and they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, yeah, Daijoubu, go ahead. Like, that just means, like, I just told them, like, it's to the right, use the bathroom, it's okay, you know what I mean?
Right, but right, right.
It's just, yeah, it's fun. It's awesome. It's so fun.
Some people cram Spanglish. Out of this, yeah. when they kind of transcend between the two, what do you call English and Japanese?
I have no idea. Japanglish? I don't even know. But like everyone just laughs in the store though, for real. When I start using it, because they like don't know what's going on. They just like look at this white guy at the counter, like what in the hell is happening?
The Buddy Holly guy just started talking to Japanese.
Exactly. Yeah. Did that guy or? Oh my God, the Buddy Holly guy knows what I'm saying now. So like I used to catch them talking some smack about us. So Jamie was like, it just changed the whole game for like, you can't come in the record store and like talk shit because.
Not in Japanese.
Ray, no, because Ray's listening. And like I would hear certain words. So I just like throw words back and forth. And then next thing you know, they'd be like, how do you know my language? And then they tell the whole story. But yeah.
You speak my language.
Yeah.
Great. Gurz, G-U-R-Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm taking notes. Don't yeah. mind me. Sometimes I just think of random things that I want to edit in later.
Yeah, yeah, no worries.
I'll write it down. Well, let's. We're getting ahead of ourselves. I'm super stoked to hear about Lost Soul and everything, but you mentioned you were in the service. Again, because I have absolutely no background on you and don't know anything, let's crank this thing all the way back. You're from around here. You're from the Lehigh Valley.
Yes.
Yeah. Grew up where-ish?
The Truxtown area.
Okay.
So like Wescoville, that was like my stomping grounds.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
Young kid, and then through like high school. So I basically bailed after high school. Like everyone went to Kutztown. It was like, this is what I could afford. And I had no money, man. My mom didn't want nothing to do with me. She was pretty much, you join the service or get out. And I was like, what do you mean? I just like work. And then she's like, no. I'm like, well, this place sucks. I'm not living with you. So I live with a friend and I joined.
What branch of the service?
I was in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. So. But then I was like, get me the hell away. So just imagine going to the recruiter and being like, I have the worst home life. I can't stand it. I'm still getting beat after all these years by my mom. And it makes no sense because I just work and try and do a good job around the house. And I just want the hell out of here. Can you send me as far away as possible? And they're like, how does Japan sound? I was like, okay.
That sounds far enough.
Can I leave in February? And they're like, yeah. Why February? I'm like, well, I want to hang out for like a few months before I leave. So,
right.
Yeah, it was like, I think I signed up in like maybe October and I had a delayed entry in like, yeah, February. So,
what year?
That was like 94 or 95 to 98.
Okay.
Yeah. So, right. And then fast forward, boot camp done, and then right to Japan. And then that was.
Is boot camp everything everybody says it is?
it's probably way different now, but back then it was pretty gnarly.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there was no, like, slapping kids or anything, but, dude, well, yeah. There was, like, yo, there's some real crazy stuff that happened. Like, for real, like...
Give me a boot camp story. The gnarliest of boot camp stories.
The gnarliest?
Yeah.
Okay, how about two?
Okay. We've got time.
Okay. One, we used to get yelled at all the time. So obviously someone would screw up everyone would just get screamed at and you have to work out for hours and then everyone would stare at the dude messing up. So one time this one dude who is in boot camp, a normal guy like us, but he was a little bit higher. So he'd be like the, kind of like the ringleader. I don't remember what they called him, but he had his like position, but he was a, ex-Marine who was trying to become a Navy SEAL. And, he was maybe like, his shoulders were 250 super wide and his waist was mad small, but we kept on getting in trouble all the time.
Okay.
And he lost it. He lost it? Yeah, he completely lost it and decided to go into the laundry room and took a dryer and removed it from the wall and punched both sides, kind of like a punching bag.
Okay.
Punched it so much.
Like a clothes dryer.
A clothes dryer. And decided to dent in both sides from punching for like 5 minutes. And then came out and said, if I fucking catch one more person fucking up really hard, you're going to look like the dryer. So no one believed him. Everyone thought he was just full of shit. His hands were bleeding. And he just went, took a shower, and went right to bed. And we're all like, yo, let's go look. And we looked, and literally the sides of the dryer were punched in. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life.
Wow.
Completely scared.
Like he hulked out and like...
Yes.
Like you I'm watching you. It's almost like bear hugging it right, left, yeah. Right, left, punching from the sides.
Over and over for like 5 minutes.
Smashed it in like hourglass.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that was one. And the other one was catching a kid sleepwalking, which was kind of like the weirdest moments ever. Because he was trying to become a Navy SEAL too. And since the hours and the stress of this boot camp was nuts... watching a kid kind of just walk randomly and you're like, why are you just like walking all weird? And then you don't understand what's going on. And you walk up to him and then you go to tap him on his shoulder and he turns around and swings at your head because he's
doesn't know what,
has no idea what's going on. Wow. And then begging you not to say anything because he really wants to become a Navy SEAL. But once if you get caught sleepwalking, you're like fucked.
You're out.
They won't let you do it.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah.
So those are two pretty good ones. I mean, there's lots of other ones that I've made.
Sure, we could do that all night.
Yeah,
sure.
I made into like songs for Tile. They're like really funny, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So Mike and Tim from Tile, they always find it funny, like where lyrics come from.
Okay.
Because it's like, I can't just randomly pick out like sentences and put them together and be like, da 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 da, the sun is great. I like this. The car, I don't do that. Like I usually tell a story with mine. So. Okay. Usually those are the stories where they're like, well, that happened. That's fucking crazy. I'm like, yeah, that is a thing. Yeah. 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 There, I mean, there's fucking some really funny ones.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. If you sleepwalk, you can't be a Navy SEAL.
I don't think so. No. See? They like boot you out right away.
I'll bet you there's dozens of people right now going, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a weird factoid.
Yeah. It's totally weird. Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, just imagine being a sober dude, you know, all your whole, I mean, I was straight edge in high school and then like you go into this world and you're like, wow, this is really strange. What the hell did I get myself into? Like, yeah. This is like the military, but I just kept to myself, did my thing and that's it.
I still don't know where I'm at with it. I'm 40 and I'm right around, I'm the same age as you. And I, my entire life, my dad was military. He was in the army. He was a medic in the Korean conflict. Called it a Korean conflict. He wouldn't call it a war.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a backhanded to the government or what. But he, I don't know, man. He really left me with a weird taste in my mouth towards the military where it's like, I don't believe in it. I don't like it. It's all a bunch of hoopla. But at the same time, without it, it would be a much different country.
Yes.
So
yeah, for sure.
I'm in a weird position of like, I mean, that's about the most necessary evil that there is, kind of, you know, and I don't know how I feel about it. It's interesting to have a military guy in here and get that perspective. I didn't think we'd be going there tonight, but
man.
I mean, I hate the whole thing. I hate the whole like warmongering and every time we every time we bomb something, somebody makes money on that. Like that.
Oh, no, it drives me.
All that size of it is gross.
But, completely drives me crazy. Like yeah. It is, but it's like, I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
My father was in the military. His father was in the military. So it's like.
Also Navy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was just like, oh, I guess I can go and kind of like, you know, not follow the normal strands of like. What they're all trying to do, man.
Right.
I mean, yeah, listen, it is dumb. It's politics. It's stupid with certain things. Or even this, like, just to do your job and, like, what you have to do or say, like, to BS it. But I'm like, if anything, it taught me how to, like, get up, go to work on time.
Right on.
Make sure you actually have, like, your shit together.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just made you figure, like, there's ways out of problems or there's solutions of stuff without like really like freaking out and just giving up. So that's right. That's the only thing that's like really cool. And I think that's what most military people are like. They're just like, yeah, I can like accomplish almost anything. So it can happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, I saw some like really messed up stuff.
Sure.
And you're just like, well, what are you doing then? I mean, you can go out your house and see your neighbor like, you know, mowing a cat over with their lawnmower. I mean, like, is it? I mean, like, you can see anything anywhere, but I'm like, yeah. I just wanted to get the hell away from here. That's it.
Yeah.
I went far away as possible.
That's about as far away as you can get before you start coming around again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any further than that, you'd be heading home again.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was sick. It was good.
So, did you 4 years there?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
You did say
I did the minimal as I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Came back.
Yeah. And then just started working. And sticking around and doing bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did Carpenter Ant.
Yes, let's talk about Carpenter. Yeah. Was that your first, like, you did something after the military band?
Yeah.
From okay.
2000 to 2007, Carpenter Ant was a thing for, like, the Lehigh Valley.
That was a thing. Yeah. I was like not into the local punk scene as much as everybody else around here and everything. Even I heard of Carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, we had like a ton of records. I think The 1 year we literally put out like three or four 7 inches in 1 year. And this is like, let's just go. Like we constantly did stuff.
Yeah. Toured a lot?
We did like a tour every, like after when the albums came out, we started touring a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like later in the game. That was probably like 2004 to 2007 is when we started doing more touring. Otherwise, it'd just be like a long weekend or just long, like...
Yeah, I did that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be anything too crazy,
yep.
But...
Mini tours.
Yes.
Yeah, I said that to make it sound like it was more than what it was.
But, yeah. No, yeah. For sure. That's... Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it's like... It was perfect timing with like the Pirates Cove and that,
right on.
That venue.
Yep.
One of the best venues ever.
Ever.
For the Lehigh Valley.
I saw one show there. It was... Put the record away. It was Dysrhythmia.
Oh, really?
Oh, so good.
You didn't see the Mastodon, Carpenter Ant, Drop Dead? No?
No.
Feel ashamed?
I am ashamed.
Yeah. Well, it was actually at the Emmaus VFW, and then it got moved there. And that was right before Leviathan came onto the show. So it's probably one of the most epic shows I've ever seen in real life.
I've heard that from more than just you. And I didn't know.
Fuck it, that.
What year would that have been?
Oh, well, whenever Leviathan came out, I don't remember.
Five?
I don't even know.
No, later than that.
I don't have no idea. I just know it was like they were playing the show, and then literally I was like, oh, didn't they have like a new album coming out soon? And then literally it's just like Leviathan came out, and everyone's like, oh my God. Because they played some of the Leviathan songs. So you're like, what the hell? I've never seen such a relaxed drummer or just a totally awesome looking man. Like they were like so sick in a Cape Cod, not even Cape Cod, a ranch house.
It was a ranch
basement.
Home.
Yeah, ranch basement.
It was a total fire hazard.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah.
If anything happened in that basement and those wooden steps collapsed, we would all die.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. There was nowhere to go.
Yeah, we practiced there for so many years.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Who owned that? Who was in charge of that?
Jordan Hollander was the one who was like on the lease, but also like I think Dave Dave 130, Dave Rosenstrauss from Carpenter Ant. I think there was like a few people on the lease.
Okay.
But I mean, it was in a that where that house is, it's a total commercial area. So everyone was gone after five.
It was perfect.
Yeah. You couldn't beat it anymore. I mean, even the barbershop across the street where I used to get my haircut, like they knew what was going on, but they're just like, can you just tell your idiot friends to like clean up after themselves and don't leave trash in our parking lot and you can use the parking lot? So I'm like, dude, couldn't ask for a cooler space.
Yep. You know? I remember when I first went there, it was before smartphones, but after GPS.
Yeah.
And I remember punching the address into the GPS. And as we got closer and closer, this can't be right. There's no club over here. This can't be right. We pulled into the house. I was like, this can't be right. And then you just saw like 100 people walk around. I was like, I guess this is it.
This is
it. And I remember walking in there and being like, this is it. This is what everybody keeps talking about with house shows.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. Such a great show.
I mean, this grimiest, grossest basement.
Oh, so
but nasty. It was totally ruled.
Yeah.
The best shows. I mean, Municipal Waste multiple times. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
I went to one.
2 feet away from yourself, and you're just like, Municipal Waste is playing like all the craziest stuff.
My thing is, what you need to know about me is I either got in right as something ended,
yeah,
or I heard about it right after it stopped. I'm late to the game guy.
Yeah.
So I think I heard of the Pirate's Cove 3 shows before it stopped.
Okay.
So I missed everything because, like I told you before, I transplanted myself elsewhere. My scenes were elsewhere. I drove to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just skipped everything in the valley. And that's totally not was better than this area. I'm frigging clueless. I just left and did the whole outskirts of Philly, Berks County, Bucks County, and Harrisburg, and out there, and skipped my hometown everything. Like, you and I mutually both know Megan.
Yeah.
Megan came on the show and she was talking about all these underground, like, she was talking about underground shows in what is now the Cigar Factory.
Yes. Just a Pigeon, yeah.
I know I was in that building for shows, but I don't remember anybody calling it Jeff the Pigeon.
Well, the upstairs was called Jan's Room. So, in the basement, we had to come through the back of the cigar building.
Yeah.
That was called Jeff the Pigeon.
See, I think my old band played Jeff the Pigeon, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
I thought it was just called the Warehouse or the Warehouse Space or something like that.
No, Jeff the Pigeon. And then later on, as Jeff the Pigeon was ending, and it might have been done already, they had a practice spot upstairs, like I think probably the main level of the Cigar Factory now. Uh-huh. And that was called Jan's Room. It was basically the same thing. That was like crappy practice space,
right.
Trash. Not too much trash, but I mean, it did get trashed. There's like,
sure, yeah.
I've seen a lot of good stuff there.
Ugh, I missed everything.
Yeah, I mean, Wolf Eyes and Jeff the Pigeon was probably the gnarliest. I was like, holy crap. Yeah. There is like, how in the world is there almost like 80 to 100 people in this freaking practice space? And people are like this totally in the zone or like the wildest noise things. I mean, Megan could tell you the shows.
Meg said that's the show that Wolf Eyes actually bounced from a Philly show to play up here. They preferred
just because
something like that.
The vibe was so sick.
Yeah.
I mean, the vibe was like,
nope, I missed
the
everything.
Space is complete. And like, I shot probably one of my best skate photos I've ever done.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Top 10. Yeah. In that warehouse.
Okay.
Like right outside the doors there. Yeah. I like dropped in on some saltwater pipe and like, made some like ramp with some spool, and Matt Franco and Robert Jurgensen from Air Conditioning were like, you can totally come here and shoot a photo whenever you want. So I hit him up and I was like, can I come here? I have friends in town. I really got to shoot this photo. I want like an industrial space. And they're like, yeah, if you need anything, we're going to be practicing, but you can use whatever stuff. So I just grabbed like this huge spool of wire and like this door, and I angled all stuff crazy. And then like my friend's like, you're really going to drop in on this? I'm like, yeah, it's cool. And he's like, you're completely out of your mind. I'm like, but I want a photo to look really sick. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, well, totally.
Let's do it.
So I think I made it 3 times in a row screaming because I was like, this is the scariest thing.
Right.
And then it was one of my favorite photos. So yeah, I love that. I miss that space.
Send me that photo.
I'll try and find it. Yeah. I mean, it was used in like really early on in 2000s because I was sponsored by some company. So it's like, we might have used it for like a magazine, but I don't remember.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, if you can find it, let me know.
Yeah,
I'll
really
tweet
cool.
it out and
okay.
connect it to this or something. That's cool. So Carpenter Ant did your thing for
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
And then was there a little bit of a break, or did Carpenter Ant end and you jumped Like what was the transition? Why Carpenter Ant to Bad American? Tile first. Yeah.
It was kind of like a joke at first because Mike and this other Mike Ironton were doing like this kind of like heavy, like noise, like almost like dirty rock or like trying to be sludgy stuff. And I was like, yo, dude, I want to do a band that sounds like Early Floor, yeah, super heavy Melvins, and like it's got to be nasty. Like, and he's like, I'm like, no, for real. Like, I want it to be like a three piece. I want it to be heavy. I have no idea what I'm doing with this bass. I want to play.
I want to hear the bass thing.
Oh, it's so everyone like always makes fun of me from like the story of like, how did Tile start or how did you write songs? So, okay. I know I'm kind of old and late to it for like learning about stuff, but I was like, I just want to play. I was so excited. I didn't care.
Oh, so up to this point in Carpenter Ant, you were the vocalist.
Yes.
Later on in Bad American, you're the vocalist.
Yes.
You wanted to start Tile as this fuzzy, nasty, grimy three-piece band.
Yeah.
And you also decided you wanted to play bass and never played bass before,
but also do and vocals. Because I was like, well, if I can like play certain notes and, I mean, like, it's really not that hard for the stuff I want
to
do.
Were the other guys in Tile like, dude, who are you going to get to play bass? And you were like, I got it.
They were at practice. I mentioned the idea, and the practice space was like the old Foundation Tattoo, like where there's also that record shop that was over there. It was called there was a record shop next to Foundation Tattoo, like in Allentown, and it was the same shop that was over in Caddy off of Front Street. Do you know the name of it? It was more like a stoner rock shop.
It does ring a bell.
Okay. It'll come to me. It'll come to me in a little bit. But anyway, that they were practicing there, and
would they have been in Caddy? Would this shop have been in Caddy between 2006 and 2010, or is that too late?
I think it's a little late. Maybe though. I don't remember because like all these from 2000. Oh, just imagine like the last 16 years is for me has just been a complete blur because like everything's so everyone's right. Like, well, I kind of got it down to like one of my bands. I'm like, I kind of don't. Because like it just goes from like one project to another, and then you go to another,
right,
and then you do another.
Only reason I ask is because from 2006 to 2010, I was a sales rep for Deer Park Springwater.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in on every solitary friggin' business in the Lehigh Valley. I know where everything was at least for that four year window.
Yeah,
but it kind of rings a bell. But maybe I'm thinking of something else.
But anyway, Foundation Tattoo is like. So I live really close to there, so I was like, I will be back in 5 minutes. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, I raced home. I grabbed this bass that I bought from someone. I think I paid $20 for it.
Good.
I like raced back. I'm like, I need chords. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have ideas. So they're like, show us what you got. So I was like, okay. So I literally started playing bass through the PA.
That day.
I had no idea what I was doing. And they're like, whoa. I'm like, I'm going to record stuff. I'll be right back. So I ran home and grabbed a one-speaker boombox that was like the infamous Carpenter Ant boombox, and I would bring it and record practices. This is way before everyone else is all super technical, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
Final race home, come right back. All right, I got a blank tape. This is what I want to sound. So you start playing, and we jam a lot. And then, you know, week after week, you start getting some ideas down. And then,
you have no clue what you're doing at this point.
No, not at this point. I have no idea. And then, because Megan finds it really funny. She
I find it very funny.
Megan tells everyone this story because she's like, thinks it's the funniest ever. And so I'm looking at like the neck of the bass and I'm just staring at it. But I didn't hold it like you would standard. Like you're just like playing like one in front. I actually had it tilted forward. So as it's tilted forward.
So the strings are like facing towards the floor.
So yeah, the strings are basically towards the floor and I'm like constantly like hovering over and like looking. It's kind of weird. I mean, you have to see it for yourself. But I'm like hovering over and I'm just playing and strumming and doing this. My bandmates were like, why the hell are you holding the bass that way? Like that makes no sense whatsoever. And
here
I was like.
Here comes the punchline.
Well, on the back of my neck here, A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way down the neck with a marker.
You wrote.
I wrote my own. So
you made cheater notes on the neck of your bass.
Yeah, like if I took the bass,
right?
Like literally took this.
Go
base.
Ahead, grab Leon's bass.
Let me grab this bass.
Leon from Half Bomber's bass is on the podcast.
Yeah. So just imagine. Just imagine. I'm like, all right, cool. But then I'm playing like this at this angle all the time. So I'm playing and standing up and I'm moving stuff and I'm like, oh, I'm into it. And I'm rocking out and like going nuts. And then you look and A, B, C, D, E, F. And like did it all the way through. And they're like, I don't understand. I'm like, and I go like this. Well, here. This is what like, and they're like, if you just use the dots, that's like odd numbers. And I went, are you shitting me?
No,
I
have
fucking no idea. Are you kidding me? This is so sick. And then they lost it.
They already put notes on here.
They were fucking crying, laughing so hard at me.
That's awesome.
But that went on for months like that.
They didn't know.
No, I had no idea. And they're like, what do you, we just thought you just played weird. I was like, no, that's how I wrote. They're like, oh my, this is so sick. So I started writing songs, but then not just start writing numbers. So I just write 3-3-3-3-3 space 5-4-3-3-3. I just do that nonstop. And everyone, they were just like, this fucking makes no sense. So Tile Mike gave me a book and said, here's a book on how to learn how to play bass. I want you to learn how to do it. And I went like, it was the best. Mike's like, all right, dude, I want to get you this book. And I was like this. Oh, cool. This is like a nice book. Oh, how to play bass. Oh, all right. Thanks. And I threw it. And he went, why the hell would you do that for? I'm just trying to be nice, Mike. I'm not trying to get better. I want to keep it the same way the whole entire time we're doing this band. So I'm not going to get better. If you want to be in this band, this is the way it is. So I set standards of like, has to be loud, has to be funny, has to sound like crap on my end. You're the guitar player. You have to kind of know what you're doing and play along with it.
The standards are you get better.
Yeah.
I'm not getting better.
Yeah. I'm not getting better. No, you play worse because I'm making you dumb down.
Oh, I get. Okay. All right.
And it drove him crazy because he's like.
Yeah, you can't say that to guitarists.
No, because. Like, yeah, they yeah, get yeah. really into it. So. Yeah. And then the drummer, you know, I said, I just want simple, big sounding. I said, I just wanted to sound like this huge drums. I wanted to be simple. And he's like, all right, cool. But that didn't work out. That drummer, like, didn't like some of the things that I came up with. And then I booked a show and he freaked because he, like, couldn't handle the pressure. And
pressure?
Yeah.
Your bassist is writing numbers on the neck of the bass.
Yeah, but he doesn't deal with pressure too much.
Okay.
So he, huge argument, started taking out his drums for practice. I threw a dual cassette player over his head at the roof of Jeff the Pigeon. It exploded.
Yes.
And then he said, oh, I can never talk to you again. I was like, okay, well, that's fine because I have to find a drummer within the next week. So, because we had a show like maybe 3 or 4 weeks ahead. So I was like, I'm not letting this go. This is, it's too good. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm listening to these practice tapes and I'm like, man, we're on to something. I just need like the two other key components to like agree with me and think about right. the way I think of it.
Right.
And once you get that trifecta, it's like awesome. You're like, dude, here it is. I don't have to teach anyone it. Like, it can work.
Yep.
So then Megan's bandmate, Chris Horn from Pocket Gallows.
Yep.
I mean, we tried out a few people, didn't work, but then we tried out a few songs and he learned a few and he was like, yo, this is cool. And I'm like, yeah, but then I want to write ones that go on for like, you just don't stop. And he's like, what? I'm like, it's endurance. It's like the songs that this early Tile stuff literally goes forever. And like live shows, you'd be surprised if like there wouldn't be a song that wouldn't stop. That was full paced for like 8-10 minutes.
Mm.
And he'd be like, he'd be dying.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh yeah, I want you to do vocals once in a while too. So, and he'd be like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, because I already seen the picture, you know what I mean? Like, I already know what I want, and if it's done right, I'm like, we could be really onto something. So I'm just like, just go along with it. Feel what I feel. And then I said, I'll handle it on my end, and Mike will do his thing. And I think this band, like, Tile was more like a passion, you know what I mean? So it's like, but it's also like a hatred of humanity and how dumb people are. So I would just let it all out while we played.
Yeah.
Smash my bass, throw shit. Like, whenever we were done, just unplug stuff, push it over. and be like, there it is. All right. Would you guys have any merchandise? No. We're no rush. So, and then it'd be like, really? I'm like, so don't care. We just do it just to get everything out.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what Tile became. But that was Tile.
Still is?
Yeah, Styles, I mean, it's changed a little bit, obviously. We've had like, you know how it is. It's like bands. You're always like, oh, man, you finish one project and you're like, oh, the next one's going to be like, I want to progress. I want to show people that we really got it. But like, I think when you worry about what I'm going to think about your record, you're not going to make a naturally good record. So I try to explain
it. Preach it, brother Gers.
So what I try and tell my bandmates are Tim and Mike, and I love those guys to death, but I'm always like, stop worrying about what everyone else fucking thinks.
Yep.
Why don't we just make cool music? And I know once we put it together, it'll work.
Yep.
So you know how it is. You're just like, you become best friends with these guys. You're like, oh, bandmates, but now you're like, ask them how they are. Can we practice this week? Do you want to do a show? And you become really tight. So it's kind of like, you don't want to yell at them, but you're also like, damn, you guys aren't seeing the same thing I'm seeing anymore. So, but we are working on a new record, which is really good. And yeah. Reptilian's going to put it out. So that's pretty awesome for us. Yeah, Reptilian's going to put out our next record and our 7-inch that's supposed to come out. And he like freaked out when I asked him because I was like, yo, dude, I really want to do this. But it's like still taking a little bit more time on it. But yeah. When you have like 49, I think Tim added up the other day, it was like something over 30 to 40 riffs that were like used for songs that we haven't even, I mean, like we have more than enough tracks, so we just have to put it together.
Yeah.
But I mean, Tile like came right around the end of Carpenter Ant because I just want to do something nasty and heavy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool that you referenced Floor that early.
Well, I mean, yeah, I love early Floor 7-inches. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Mike at Foundation Tattoo to introduce me to that style of like, even like more like Southern rock too, I was like, oh, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yo, this is sick. I love that. And I love the early Floor 7-inch. I think now, I don't even know why, but I continually buy them at the record store. I'm like, how many more copies do I need of these? But I have like almost 3 or 4 of each. I just keep, every time I see them, I'm like, no one's allowed to have them. I need them. But then I want to be like, you know, what if you came over and you're like, oh, I don't have this. And I'd be like, here, I got them for like nothing because I work at the store.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a good present. So I'm just like down to like introduce people to early stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's how it was done to me.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Tile, man.
That's Tile.
That is Tile. Punching through stuff and smashing and bending strings. I don't know.
So you were getting your yayas out with Tile. Why Bad American? What's that story? Why are you in so many bands?
Why not? I don't know. Why do you have to do so much? I mean, like I did another project for like 2 years before Bad American, but it was like, that was called Fresh Meat. And that basically was like some dudes who just want to play like Flipper style, Total Abuse, I don't know, like gnarly punk, where like it was like kind of like off the cuff subjects and stuff. But it was like more like, we just want to play super repetitive stuff. And then it's like, not really change, and then you have to act like an ass or you have to do your thing. So like I've taken that and then incorporated those 2 years and the ideas of a lot of things, and then finally like Bad American started with Mark Kale at UPS, and then one of my best friends Jamie Heim I asked him to play bass even though he's a phenomenal guitar player. And then I think we had like way too many drummers because none of them could handle Mark at times, because Mark would want certain things. You can just see it wasn't working, or like one would hit too soft, or one would just be, it's a catastrophe. So, excuse me. After so many years, it's like Bad American has a solid lineup. I mean, it's been like over 7, I think, or 6 or 7, but the last 2 years is like the lineup where Mark kind of like took his pace away, wanted to move away, and
What happened with Mark?
Creative differences, I would say. I don't know. Sometimes he'd be kind of nervous of the way I am. He would say like, "Yo, if we go play these shows and we go on this tour, I can't have you act the way you do because like I'm not gonna like be down with that." And I'd be like, "Well,
what are you doing? What are you acting like that?"
It's You can always go to a show, right? Here's the thing. You can always go to a show and see a band perform.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you can either be like, they're performing, or it's their night out away from their wives. They just look like they're just having band practice. There's no enthusiasm, and it's the same cut routine that you've seen them do for the last six shows.
Right.
So for me, it's like crowd engaging. If it's a punk house, I kind of know which limits to go off of. And
yeah.
What if you'll never see, what if Travis never saw me play ever again?
I've seen you once, and
yeah,
that,
no, no,
that,
but
that would be the one impression I have, right.
But it's like, just imagine if you're like, yo, and then, so I look at everyone, I go like this. You are fucking going to get one of the craziest sets you're ever going to see in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I never see you again, you're going to be like, that's it. I mean, it's been the same with Carpenter Ant. Carpenter Ant used to throw skateboard wheels at people on purpose. I would gun them at people. I would be like, I'm throwing these at you because you're going to remember this set. And that's just something, I mean, I'm surprised I haven't got my ass kicked over the years. I've been shoved a lot.
That would have upset me to get hit with a skateboard wheel.
Yeah. I mean, I've been shoved a lot, but it's just like, whatever. It's like, I'm going.
I remember when I saw you perform at Caddy Club, I remember thinking, holy hell, this band is laying it out there. They are really going for it. Totally overperformed for Caddy Club.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I just felt like they're going to shut this down. Like, you guys have gone too far.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, you weren't doing anything obscene or over the top or anything, but just the rest of the bands are there to perform and they're doing their thing over there, and you were engaging, you were up in the crowd, you kind of have like that, oh man, I'm afraid you're gonna jump over the table and hit me with that coffee cup. You kind of had like an Axl Rose sachet kind of a slithery thing.
Yeah,
you
I want
doing.
You to feel slimy. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I sorry about Axl Rose, first thing popped my head. You know the lead singer AC/DC, that guy?
Yeah, thank you.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I can't even. That does not compute. But that performance, I just remember being like, too much. Too much for Caddy Club. Oh, my God. That's
awesome, then.
Yeah, I totally mean that as a compliment. Because the other bands were there to perform. We're going to stand behind this line and play our guitars and sing our la-la-las. And then, thank you, good night, stickers in the back. And Bad American was like, blah.
Yeah.
You were like out in the crowd on top of people, kind of
smashing drinks out of hands.
Knocking people's drinks out of their hands, on purpose, almost
And
I thought,
no, it totally is. Yeah.
Well, it's a show, folks, you know?
Yeah. Well, I want you to remember it. So, I mean, that's why. But like the last 2 years, Bad American's like, I mean, we had that change with Mark and it was cool. We made some really awesome music together.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can just see, it's like, I wanted to change and, you know, some people don't like the way I am who are in bands. They can't handle it. They just don't know what to do. And Mark was one that said, don't go over the top. And I'm like, I'm not. But I'm going to do me, and know what I've always done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you remember me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make you remember the band. And that's why this is what it is. Like, this is just the way I am. This is a temper tantrum, and I'm done. Like, I just get it all out, and I'm cool. So, yeah. But now, with the lineup now, with Jamie moved over from bass to lead guitar, it's just him.
Okay.
And then we got Eric Gilmeyer playing bass. And I'm so happy to get Michael. Well, Eric's amazing as a bass player, but he also plays guitar. But he's like motivated and he's older, which is nice.
Okay.
And then you have Michael, who is like just turned 21 and I could be his father. It's fucking hilarious. And but he's an amazing hardcore drummer / he could play jazz. He could do anything.
Okay.
But it's just like, it gels so easy. So when Mark left the band, we were like, yo, why don't we change things a little bit? Let's kind of like make it not as hardcore, maybe do some like weirder stuff. And they're like, what are you talking about? So I started like pitching ideas, or I play stuff for them, and they're like, wow, this is kind of fucked up, but I can see it working. And then Jamie got juiced, because imagine, I've been playing bass in this band for like so many years now. I get to play guitar.
He used to be guitarist again.
Fuck, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So Jamie got juiced and he started writing a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And Jamie knows my format. Like sometimes I'll even talk out riffs and I'll be like, and then all of a sudden he'd be like, oh, like this. And then he just does it. And I'm like, whoa, I've only had that connection with two people my entire life that could do that. And you're one of them. And the other one was Dave Rosenstrass from Carpenter Ant, because most of the albums were written from this like random, like, I don't know, rhythms. And So... But yeah, after we did that, it was like a year later, we put out Scuzz. You know what I mean? Like, we recorded it and everything.
Does playing bass in Tile, or learning how to play bass in Tile, or learning how to play bass the way you play bass in Tile, did that formidably changed the way that songs happened for Bad American? Like, in other words, did that bridge the gap and change anything from Carpenter Ant to Bad American? Like, did you become more musical, so to speak?
I would say, I mean, I had to.
Sure.
I mean, I'm going to have to be like, I want to be like, it was like, where do I plug in this cord for this amp? does anyone have picks? Like,
right.
Does someone have a strap? Yeah, no. Like, I started, like, paying attention a little bit more.
Yeah.
But as, like, for Tile, it's just like, I don't practice. You know, I don't, like, I don't really don't care. You know what I mean? I have a life. Like, I've worked multiple jobs, skate company, a pro skater. Like, I have a lot of things on my plate. So it's like, I can practice enough, but... You know how some people just become like, I have to be perfect at this, and I have to do these riffs just right. I'm like, okay, well, that's you. Me, I can get close, and I'll be happy with that. And I've also can, like, during recordings, you can ask Jared, I've taken off my bass and unplugged it and, like, slid it, like, 30 feet across the floor, double-decker, and been like, fuck everything. You know what I mean? Or I've taken my bass.
I've had those days.
I've taken my bass and set it on the edge of a cinder block and jumped and tried to break it in half. And, okay. Like... And I like, all because I can't play something. But then I'd be like, well, I know I can do it. So, you know, right. You know, I do get musically better, but there's a standard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but perfect is the enemy of done.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that a long time ago.
Pretty awesome.
Stuck with me because, like, if you can sit there and hem and haw, as the Dutch say, and make sure it's perfect and go over it again. Let's go back in and mix it one more time. Let me send the mix, blah, blah, blah. Put the damn thing out.
Yeah.
Just get, I mean, unless it's a complete turd,
yeah,
just put it out there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Jared for recording Tile, Bad American, every band I've ever done, he knows, like...
He's a badass.
He knows what's up. But also, like, he knows what we're going for. So it's like, I've had to redo vocals, or, like, I hear certain things in the mix, or, like, I want a certain tone. And it's like, God, thank God he gets it.
Right.
It makes it better. But also, he knows, like, hey, that's enough. Like... Just let's just move on to the next
diminishing returns.
Yeah, you're like, you're wasting your time on
exactly.
This. I'm like, all right, cool, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, I think we covered just about everything. Do you feel like we covered it?
I mean, that's everything? Mostly it. I mean,
pretty much brings us up to par, right?
Yeah, up to date, basically.
But you have I mean, I hate to. This sounds so record. This sounds so radio show. But I mean, you're promoting something. Something's about to happen.
I mean, Lost Soul Skateboards video, Magic Camera's coming out.
And Lost Soul what?
Magic Camera.
Magic Camera.
It's the name of our next video.
Okay.
It's coming out May 21st. And we're having it at the Alternative Gallery in Allentown, the Cigar Factory. Yes. I think it's 727 North 4th or whatever. But yeah, it's a video that the team's been working on.
No way.
I had so many...
Go ahead, keep going.
No, I had so many like... problems with the brands. You know how it is. It's like, I don't think anyone knows, but like most things have a 5-year span. Okay. So what happens is,
what do you mean?
Everything's awesome for 5 years and then people change their minds. And
I know what you mean.
People feelings change, you know, adult life, non-adult life. I don't know what I want to do. This isn't for me anymore. I kind of don't see the same way you see things. Mm-hmm. And like, it happens. We all grow, you know what I mean? But like when you have images and like, especially imagery or like a feeling for a brand and you want it to continue, there's no reason to just change with what's cool and what's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You can, mm-hmm. but then it also shows your true colors that like, oh, you'll just change for anything.
We were talking about that upstairs.
You'll just change for anything. Like, oh, cool. I can start doing this in my clothes or we start doing these designs like this. I'm like, no, it's not my thing. So
yeah.
Magic Camera is like, this video was supposed to come out a few years ago, and I set a time limit, but some of the dudes on the team kind of were like, didn't like the pressure of filming, wanted to take a break, and just weren't feeling the same way about stuff. You know, they're all growing up, so I was like, well, when they started to leave, I was like, holy shit, I just lost, like, my best friends that don't want to do the brand anymore. I'm like, God, it's like losing a band member.
Right.
But they're not in bands. They don't understand that feeling. To them, it's just like, I'm just moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's like when you lose a band member that you've been friends with for a long time, outside of the band, it's one thing. But like when you're in the band, like, damn, dude, it's like a better bond. So dudes who aren't in bands really don't get it. They're just like, well, I do my thing, you do your thing. You know what I mean? Like, you call me, I'll go skate, blah, blah, blah. But it's not like that. Like, band members are always so much different. They're more caring. It's like, Everyone says like it's your next family, you know, but it truly is.
It sounds cheesy to those that don't get it, but I mean, I did the whole like session plug-in drummer thing. Like, you know, hey, you happen to be that musician that can sing and play bass and guitar and keyboards and do all that stuff. I just can't play drums. Send me your files. I'll play drums for it. And the dude could live somewhere else, like far away, because digitally we can do that now.
Yeah.
You know? And there was a disconnect. It's not that vibe in the room. It's not that bandmate kind of a thing. I got used to it because I think drummers sometimes they're a little bit on the expendable side, you know?
I think you're unbelievably crucial.
I do too. But I think for the most part, they just seem to be like when you're talking about, I guess I'm talking bigger than I ever got, but when you're talking about like a pop artist, the band that rotates underneath them, drummers are usually the different ones every tour.
Yeah, but I mean, it's for us, though, I always say like the drummers are like the spinal cord of the band.
I agree. As a drummer, I completely
agree. Yeah, because without you, I can't walk, can't do anything.
Yep, I agree.
And I always say like you're so crucial, and it's just like you can tell when someone's just playing drums.
Yep.
Or you can tell when someone's really playing drums.
Yeah.
When they feel it, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like you can ask Tim from Tile, it's like he changes stuff on us all the time. Because he's like, he goes, he gets bored, but he also like, when I like it, I'll add stuff to it, or I'll take from here and do this. And I'm like, you can just see it in their eyes that like, you need them. Because if they do a certain fill, I'm sure if we would play together, you would do a certain fill or something. I'd be like, fuck, dude, he is hitting this ride nonstop. And this is like sick. I'm going to try harder because I'm just like, man, he's fucking trying. I'm trying.
So right.
I don't think you're that expendable.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But I think it's the way it goes sometimes, just from some of my experience. The situation that I'm in now, it's kind of nice to come back to the camaraderie in the room kind of a thing. It's really something that I got away from for a while and kind of forgot the value in it.
Yeah.
And just that whole like all for one, one for all. It sounds cheap. I feel almost douchey saying that.
No, it's true.
But it matters. It does matter. And I get that when you lose that member.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's tough. So it's like when I lost those guys for Lost Soul, I was like, oh my God, I had like a nervous breakdown. I'm like, I invest all this money and time in these guys and our friendship, and now they're just like, later, we don't call you, don't text you, don't do this stuff. So I like literally lost it. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what the fuck, what am I going to do?
Right.
I have something that's like cool. I know it's cool
because
people are like paying attention from all over the world now. It's not just like a good old Lehigh Valley thing.
Right.
This is like it's like actually, I think consistency with a brand of making shit look cool, doing things a certain way, making it look a certain way, like it'll all pay off in the end. And I went away. I took a trip with my wife and I went out west to San Diego to visit family. And I talked to the owners of Brixton, who I get some stuff from, and explained the whole thing to them. And they're like, it just happens, blah, blah, blah. This is what everyone goes through. We were there. We were in the same boat as you. We started out really small. So I was like, okay. And then I visited my friend in LA who was doing the artwork for, and he owns Heroin Skateboards, and his name's Mark Foster, and goes by Foss. And he was just like, it just happens, right? This is like every 5 years, shit just gets weird. And you got to find the ways to make it work. You know what I mean? You're going to find new people who want to do editing. So I was like, but he's like, but just don't give up, man. He's like, it's cool. Trust me. So I was like, came home from that trip and I was like, psyched. I was like, dude, that's it. I'm going to make it work. So I grabbed the people that were still there and I explained them what happened. We had this like really good dinner. And then I was like, we're going for it. We're going to put out a video in like 2 years. And I don't give a fuck how we're going to do it. And I'm going to like, it's going to be hard because we don't sell a lot of products. We don't like push to be like, buy us. But I'm like, you know what? People are going to find it interesting. And I'm going to work my ways of making a, you know, better contacts with people. So like last year, I'm telling you, like last year going to Japan and like hanging out with my friend for a week, had a wheel come out. It like changed everything. Cause now it's like fucking dude, anyone on the internet can follow you, and it's Instagram, Facebook. So when I'm laughing at my Instagram, when dudes are commenting like all in Japanese letters, or I'm like, what is this going on? This is like the craziest week of my life. My Japanese friend's like, they say you're very cool. They like everything, all brand bands. It's a good job. And I'm like, no. Okay. He's like, no. You keep doing it. So I was like, all right. So next thing you know, it's like, you're kind of like a celebrity over there because there's people are coming up to you going, ah, looks like you've had a good week here. I'm like, yeah, I fucking ate lots of ramen and I skated the coolest shit and I've stayed for free and you guys have been like so hospitable and everyone's been cool and they understand what a underground thing is. Like they love it. So by me putting my interest into my friend and giving him a guest model, I mean, when you're in like Volcom Japan and you're like in the main Volcom Japan, you're hanging out with like all the owners and stuff of these fucking huge brands and they're coming up to you and they're like, you did this? This is your... And they're bowing and they're showing so much appreciation for taking notice of their... Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
So I'm like...
It's humbling, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm doing it, dude. Like, I'm going to do it. I talked to my wife and she's like, I've noticed a big change. So yeah, just go for it. So you're only getting older. So you don't, if you don't go now, it's never. So I'm like, screw it. So the video's coming out May 21st.
Stoked. We've been
working really hard and... yeah, it's like I'm like some new additions to the team, which is totally cool, and the vibe's the same. So we're going to do U.S. premieres, and then it's just crazy. I would have been like, we're just doing premieres, you know? But no, it's like I never thought a brand any that was brought up in Emmaus, you know, like outside of Allentown, would be doing premieres in Japan. And like my friend already was like, yo, I already locked in a date for like July 30th for Japan. So it's like a Saturday. We're going to do the premiere. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to try and get one more too. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
unbelievable.
Oh, so crazy. And it's just because small, not trying to outdo anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing what I think is cool with dumb hand drawings or just like witty humor. And there it is. It's just like an East Coast company that like, I don't know. To me, it's awesome. I just can't believe like it's grown this much. So the video's coming out. And then like just 2 weeks ago, we had a Bad American premiere. So I'm
yes, you did.
The record release for SCUZ. And I'm like, and to me, every time you do a record, to me, it's like a chapter of your life. So it's like, you're just like, I just finished that chapter. Can I listen to it and be psyched? I'm like, oh yeah, hell yeah.
Good.
And to watch people go off on it when they're so excited when they get it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a flattering, you know, someone else finds that much interest in your stuff. It's totally cool.
It's neat that, it's on Bandcamp.
Yeah, a couple songs are on Bandcamp.
It's
neat.
It's neat that Bandcamp has that section of like tell the world like you just bought SCUZ from Bad American. Tell everybody why it's awesome.
Yeah,
and you can actually take the time to be like,
oh, cool.
Okay, the reason I like this is because blah. And then they let you pick a favorite song title.
Oh, right on.
And it has, you know, if I go to Bandcamp and I never heard of Bad American and I never heard of Ray Gurz and I have no idea what's going on, but the first four people say that, you know, this particular song is their favorite one, guess which song I'm clicking on? And I'm going to listen to it. I might fall in love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that. That's cool. I like that there is this vibe of like, I know it's digital and I know, you know, the tangible, like, you know, you're in my studio, I have records all over my wall and everything, but I have 500 gigs of music.
Yeah.
Ranging from shit I will never listen to because I don't even like it. I'm not sure how it got there, all the way to my favorite albums and I forgot they're in there. You know what I mean? But digitally, it's getting lost in the shuffle. I like that there is some sort of a little bit of a hybrid, that there's the digital way to get somebody in Japan to download your song right away.
Yeah, for sure.
And at the same time, kind of have the recommendation, dude, I know these guys. Here's the reason I like it. You should check this particular thing
out. Yeah, that's really cool.
That's kind of going back to the merch table.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, dude, I saw you bought that. You should get that. Matter of fact, take it. Dude, go listen to it. You know what I mean? Remember those days?
Those days were really good.
I remember bands handing me 7 inches.
Yeah.
Like nowadays it's like, well, how do I get the return back on my 7-inch and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I remember bands handing them out.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. I mean, like, and even like CDRs, like, yo, here, just check this out.
Sure. You know
what I mean?
Yeah. Mixed CDs or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's, I can't complain. I'm having the time of my life. I like,
right on.
I got a wife, I got two dogs. You know what I mean?
What are the dogs' names?
Stanley and Zero.
Stanley and Zero?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like you work two jobs and you do Lost Soul and you do the bands. I mean, this is like, that's it. This is what I've got.
Just keep producing things.
Yeah, that's it. And I just think like once you stop producing is when you get all boring and then you're like,
right on.
You sit and then you'll stare at something and you're just like, well, I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. But like some people don't have that drive. Like I just told I just sent an email to someone yesterday. I was just like, They're like kind of like this, you know, airing out their laundry and they're like just saying all the stuff. And I'm just like, well, you know, once you get rid of those certain annoyances focus on yourself, but then also like just get that buzz going, get that like drive, you know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of people that have that. There's a lot of people that just go with emotion.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, life is too short. You can just, it's so cliche, but it is. So like fucking go for it. If you want to put out a record, put out a record.
Yeah,
I put out the Bad American record. I'm like proud of it. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to let it sit on a hard drive and like never let anyone listen to it? Like
yeah.
Most people. And they're like, this is like, it's cool. I can like let my family listen to it, or just fucking put out a real record. You know what I mean? Like
my mom likes it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like whatever. And then, but that's why like Tile and Bad American, it's just like, it's, I don't know. I'm just psyched. I'm in good bands that like, well, I mean, to me it's exciting. It's all like this, your artwork, you know what I mean? Like drawings, but you're doing it through music. It's pretty awesome.
You got home from the military, Carpenter Ant, Tile, Bad American, skateboards, drawings, skateboard videos, skateboard company. You've been too busy to really give a shit.
Yeah, I really don't care. I mean, most
and that's what I like.
Yeah, yeah, most people don't. Most people rather take it way easier and like take the lesser route. But to me, it's like, I got this is my life, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fucking live it. Yeah, I don't know, but that's it. That's my story.
Cool.
Yeah,
we went really long at the end there, but that's all right. It's a podcast. I don't think.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can cut, chop it up. People could stop listening whenever they want.
I'll edit it down to 4 minutes. I'll just have you list your band names and your skateboard movie thing, and then I'll just cut. It'll be a shorty. No, I'm kidding.
Awesome.
Good stuff, man. We good? Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You are most welcome. Enemy of done.
As the story grows.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.